Hello, this is Pastor Nate Scharf from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Ulm, Minnesota. You're here with Invisible Church, our podcast of our Bible classes. We will be studying together Paul's letter to the Galatians and focusing on the theme, freedom in Christ. May God richly bless our study of his word together.
Let's jump into 5 and 17. Let's read together. And we can do 18 as well. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Explain to the unbeliever every single day, I am a battlefield. How do you explain that to your friend you work with? Or to the person who's, you know, working on your house? Or that you're working for, you know, every day on a battlefield. Yeah? I'm redeemed, but I still sin. Every day, this battle rages. It's not someone standing next to you and shouting in your ear, but someone would notice that and they go, hey, stop bothering that person. But yet, that's going on inside of us. You know, you don't see the battle that's raging. With this constant conflict, is it hard to get started doing the right thing?
Yes.
Or second-guessing ourselves, or...
It's hard to start, but at the same time, if you're constantly reminded, it's there, and you may as well deal with it, because it's not going to go away if you ignore it. But the daily drowning of the old man and the new man arriving at, to me, that validates and it underlines the importance of having to be daily devotion. Because otherwise you go...
A good commercial for daily devotion. This battle is going to be there. It's not going away.
Exactly.
So why not put your armor on early, and then you're equipped to fight better the battles of each day. You know, pick up your. Does a police officer go out on the beat without his firearm on his side?
No.
You know, these are things.
Nor his badge.
Nor his badge. Yeah, reminding himself who he is. Two truths from Professor Kuski I just picked up from my notes in his class. I need to realize that I am a daily war zone in which my old person and new person oppose each other. That happens. It's going to happen. Two, I need to commit myself to following the new person. Otherwise, the old person will have his way. You know, kind of like the Joshua. You know, choose ye this day whom you will serve. You know, we're talking to the new person here. We know we're redeemed. We know we're forgiven. Damn.
I'm on the way. All of those people who are in the and I missed those because one of my favorite things was the good angel on my shoulder, the evil angel on my shoulder, and then the most extremely important spirit. And I don't know that that happens anymore in my mind. I don't know my granddaughter will know that what that constant battle is. Again, we were taught that every day.
Yeah, cartoons taught a good thing there, and that taught that this is a battle that goes on in your mind, in your heart. You have the evil version of yourself on one shoulder and the good version of yourself on the other. And we know that as Christians, it's a great picture of the old person and the new person. By ourselves, we were only the evil version. But because of Christ, because of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, why do you think that's gone away?
Erasing sin, erasing hell, erasing judgment, tolerance.
Yeah, erasing sin, erasing hell, a new version of the word tolerance, where it's not only, you're not going to kill someone for doing this or doing that,
but you should accept them and celebrate them.
Why is principal and you accepting the process? Arguably, the author that I'm introducing is Reformed, so they see prayer as a sacrament. It's not really a sanctuary. But he would read out loud to his kids during their lunch, this present darkness. The story is a Christian who's going through troubles, and all around him, believers and demons are at war. And the author reads the believers and demons in this present darkness. When the reading of that was done, the students were ready to confront them. They were strong and thinking, this is real. Except for that heresy that the prayer warriors weren't praying in the temple. Now that's a reformed doctrine, that prayer is a sacrament, and it's not. So that had to be addressed, but
yeah.
It made it so real for them that there's this battle that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
That right now in this classroom, it isn't being or the swords flashing. But didn't an angel say, Daniel, I've been in warfare with the Prince of Persia for 3 weeks. I heard your prayer and I came and swept light, but only Michael came to my aid in the battle. Not demons and angels.
It'd be a good thing to read. I can't think of that exactly. I think
you
I
know
what
you're talking
about.
Don't you?
Yeah.
But there's stuff going on that
I think if we saw it, we'd be absolutely terrified of even walking out the door or even being in our own home, in our own skin. But on the other hand, we'd be greatly comforted because we'd see that God does fight for us. So, excellent. I'll leave that there. Dan, do you want to add quickly?
I'm sorry, but I see it being revealed more and more. So that the Lord is and so it's even more vital when that becomes true and talk about the truth, because it appears as though our culture is rather than there's a lot of scary stuff on it
I'm watching basketball tournaments and I see an ad for a new show that's coming in April where angels and witches battle together. I don't really know.
Yeah.
It's like
people have a fascination with God, with angels, with demons,
vampires.
With wicked, with vampires,
yeah.
But only on their own terms and how they want to interpret
it.
How
hard it must be for you with your little children growing up. I'm so glad that my children are growing and aren't having to watch what's on TV now or wherever they're finding it.
You turn on anything that's electronic and more that gives the world access to your child.
Yeah.
Anything electronic. I mean, a little tablet to play Minecraft. Well, there are going to be ads scrolling or things to click on, and two clicks away, you can get some pretty awful stuff. And any of these. Hey, you can connect with the world through this video game. Put on your headphones, and you've got your speaker, and you're playing these battle games or whatever, which you could have issue with enough. I mean, or you could say, okay, that's not too bad. But then who are you connecting with? And who are they posing to be? Could it be a 13-year-old from Europe? Or is that a 50-year-old who's going to try and put some idea? You know, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. But yet, I think every age is kind of suddenly. You know, look at where our world is going.
The Apostle Paul said
it. Yep, the Apostle Paul said it. And we have to put our trust in Christ. We have to be armed as much as possible. But me going down every rabbit hole of, how do I prevent this from hitting my child, that from hitting my child? I can't prevent it all. I'm finally going to try and prepare them.
It's really bad. Now, when I was a little girl, I think that
Different versions of evil that each generation has to deal with. Thank you, Mary. Okay, 5 verse 18, we read, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. Verse 18 says, led by the Spirit. Can you explain the difference? I mean, I just put up there, I want to do this because I know this is God's command versus I've got to do this because God's church says I have to. Walking by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, is the want to do this because I'm saved, because I know this. You know, he leads us to realize this is a good thing. Versus being under the law, well, I've got to do this because God's church says I have to. You know, finding an old Adam reason for doing this. Will this always be clear in our minds as we do something? You have a little bit of both, right? Because you have that new person in you and that old person. To be led by the Spirit is not a matter of compulsion, but glad and free serving by love. When you receive a gift, you're overwhelmed and compelled to say thank you. Wait.
When I hear those words, I think about that picture where they show the footprints in the sand, and then you're all sort of in one set, and that's when God says, I'll carry you.
Yeah, and here we thought that was the worst part of our life.
And
we
thought
were
that
doing
was
it all
when he
alone.
Left you or forgot you.
Yep.
And it isn't. And that's the same thing. You can start out walking, but unless you're being following the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, forget it.
Yeah.
You're going to get lost. There's a take on that, too, verses. And the one where you see the heel mark stand for the chicken has to be.
The draggy mark, the body being draggy. The kicking and screaming.
You mean the rough?
Yeah.
Showing the rough? Showing foot, you know, it would be
Why is Romans 7 kind of good to think about here? We can say this is super clear for us here on the screen, here in Paul's words, but we know the struggle, right? What this struggle looks like. It's a big mess, isn't it? Romans 7, the good I want to do, I don't do. You know, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. And then finally, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Galatians 5, verse 19, we get to a list, kind of like Romans chapter 1. Let's read 19 to 21. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sadly, these first few words in chapter 19, or verse 19, need a little explanation. In Greek, it'd be porneia. What word do you see in there that's more and more prevalent? Pornography, porn, illicit sexual activity, akatharsia. More than general uncleanness, to not be clean, but especially thinking about sexually, you think about homosexuality, asalgia, unrestrained living, no restraint sexually, we're talking about sexual sins, in Galatia. Are the works of the flesh in AD 2019 different than works of the flesh in AD 52? No. I mean, for a while it seemed we tried to, like, as a nation, maybe we had a more of a handle on it. Or we thought we did, but here, you know, it's oozing out of our culture and society, seeking more and more for acceptance, tolerance, celebration, and really whatever it is. I'm not just talking about one thing; it's all of it. Lack of shame. Yeah, I was telling someone on Friday, we were talking about this. They had uncovered something on their child's device, and then had to have these tough conversations. And just how it's in the face of our young people, you know, kind of what we were talking about, Marion. But I said, I got to tour the city of Pompeii, what they kind of uncovered. The walls are still standing of the city, you know, the roofs are taken off, you know, were probably incinerated because they were made of whatever material. But even the second floors of some of these buildings are intact. And you go down the street and you look on the wall, on the corner, like where a street sign would be, and there's a big penis. In like stone, carved out of stone, pointing a certain direction to let you know where that area of the city is, if you'd like to go there. And you tour all of this, and you go, oh my goodness, like that was on the sign in the city, like that symbol. And you go, yeah, it could be worse, it could be worse. But nothing new under the sun. Galatians 5, verse 20 to 21. Is this list getting any better? We talk about
selfish ambition, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And things similar to these, you know, no excuses. You know, the list could go on. Paul had warned them about these before. The one practicing these things won't inherit God's gift of heaven. Is the sin ever worth it? Is the sin ever worth it? Because one sin always wants to lead to another sin and another. If you lie, you better get good at it. Because you're going to have to lie and lie and lie and lie again.
You have to have a good memory.
And you have to have a good memory if you're going to be a liar. I think of, you know, Pinocchio is a scary movie for children, I think. But what did it picture well? You know, the person, you know, saying, hey, I'm your friend, I'm helping you along, and obviously had bad motives. Pinocchio gets led to this island, and the children turn into, you know, donkeys, you know, and but all the while egging each other on into this way of life. And so also, if we want to sin, if we want to go down that path, you're going to find for a time a lot of friends doing that or doing with you and a lot of support. Is the sin ever worth it? No. You know, those who practice these things, because the devil not just do it once, but practicing and taking you down this path. What's the difference between fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit? 5 verse 12. Let's read the verses first. 5 verse 22 to 23. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. What's the difference between fruit of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit? Okay, acting on the gifts.
The fruit is the result of the gift.
The fruit is the result of the gift?
Of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit?
Knowing the Holy Spirit. No fruit.
Yeah, no indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
These are qualities. No fruit. These are qualities of character controlled by the Holy Spirit. Gifts are gifts. Gifts are something that the Spirit enables you to perform.
Yeah.
The actions.
Yeah. The Spirit dwells in you, gives you these gifts, bestows these gifts on you, and then you put them into practice, which He does in you, you know, the good works He prepared in advance for you to do, and the fruit comes out. Maybe I'll put the question this way. Maybe I'll put the question this way. Someone says to you, you know, hey, be more patient with that person. Well, that's not my gift. That's not my gift. What could you tell them? Well, patience is not necessarily, you know, you would say, well, you don't preach very well, you know. And someone might say, well, that's not my gift. And they might be right. They might be right. You know, God hasn't given the gift of someone, you know, to prophesy well or whatever else. But for someone to be patient, when they say, well, that's not my gift, what could you say to them? Let's study the word together. And this is fruit. Fruit automatically comes. Is the fruit sometimes going to be, you know, Hannah, when she taught in Florida, had this grapefruit tree that just, it would get weighted down and like just tons of fruit. And that, when I go down there, that was one of my jobs while she was teaching or whatever. You know, I get to stay with the pastor who was next door, which worked out very well. And then I could just go right across and I could work on her yard because she didn't have time to do that. She'd say, and the grapefruit, you know, I'd try and get them off the tree and the tree would like lift up as I took the grapefruit off. You know, that was a tree that bore quite intensely. But sometimes you've got to a piece of fruit and it, you know, you call this a grapefruit, you know, just so small or whatever else. But regardless, the tree was producing this fruit. So also on each Christian, are there going to be some fruit at some point that is this large, ripe fruit? Absolutely. But sometimes you're going to go up and you go, call that fruit, but it's still something, right? Fruit's going to come. So patience might not be something that's being produced greatly, but it's a fruit of the Spirit. It will come, and keep working on it. You know, and the Holy, keep praying for that. Which is good for a pastor to have or a layperson to have. Which one of these fruits?
Paul, are you asking which one?
Or which is good, which ones are good?
All.
All, right? You know, there's a blessing to all of us having all these gifts.
I want my pastor and all of us.
Yeah. And I want, and pastors want their people to have all, right? Agape, that's self-sacrificing love. And love does not consider the cost to self, but does whatever is needed to benefit the person that they have chosen to love. And it's not based on the performance of the one loved. You know, you think in a marriage, people get so bent out of shape, well, they're not doing this, or I thought it was going to be like this when I married this person, but they didn't change like I thought I could change them, or whatever. But you said to love them. Well, love isn't just based on how they make you feel on a particular day. It's what you commit, you know, that you're saying, I'm going to do what's in the best interest of this person.
Lest they watch a lot of movies.
Lest they watch a lot of movies. And then everything is answered. And Cinderella gets to live in the past.
Instead of thinking that Christ is the one who calls you.
Yeah, because your husband will always disappoint you. And your wife will always disappoint you. You know, when you think of it, if you're going from that aspect. But when you understand it correctly, what a blessing marriage is. Kara, or Kara's joy, even in suffering. Irene, peace. You know, you put your head on the pillow and you actually sleep. There's an absence of strife. There's an absence of this struggle. Makrophamia, or even in the struggle, you can have this peace. Makrophamia, the King James often had long suffering, you know, being long fused with others. I kind of like that, long suffering, you know, with someone. Christotes, I think. Gentleness, kindness, you see a need and you reach out. Agathosune, goodness, you know, based on kalos and agathos. Agathos, you know, really kind of making a difference, benefiting someone. You know, you see a need and reach out. You're always ready with a helping hand. Pistis, faithfulness, making a promise and keeping it. Prautes, meekness, thinking better of others than self. Kratia, self-control, everything done in a measured way. How do we teach these things?
Example.
Not flying off the handle. Be measured. Constant reminder. Thinking first. Modeling it. You know, you think of people who have gotten more gray hair on their head, and some of these things, they're able to be patient. You know, some bosses that I've had who are just able to be patient in this presence of just some really a lot of junk that was going on. But how are, you know, they had learned these things. God had taught them, whether they could verbalize that or not. The old person always wants us to confuse us, but these are the things that God works in us. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 24, let's read this together. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let's keep reading. Verse 25 and 26. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Paul is talking back and forth about this battle. Why such violence? Is it easy to crucify the flesh? Elaine said, you know, every day drowning the old Adam. You ever drown somebody?
No.
The band's right there. No, go for it.
Well, my question is
really
why this is
very
important. Those who belong to Christ Jesus cannot crucify with, in my English understanding, means cannot hit. My sinful nature feels very much alive. I don't know. I'm not a.
You have received this message. It's an ongoing attack.
We are crucified.
It doesn't say those that are on Christ Jesus Christ crucified. The pod is a perfect tense, which I've been taught means ongoing.
So here it's an aorist in Greek, which would be, you know, this happened, you know.
So it's referring to what Christ did for me, not what I'm doing for myself.
Well, we would know that, yeah. That
Christ is crucified for me, but then I am crucified.
You know, what is it? Is it Luther says, whoever it says, you know, we drown the old Adam, but at the last moment, the old person learns how to swim. Mm-hmm. You know?
He
comes back. He comes back. Yeah, it says, and though, kind of those, these ones of Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, to crucify, that's the most violent way to put someone to death, right? You know, Luther says drown the old Adam. Every Christian has to put to death the vile object, the old person. You know, we now hate the old person and the desires he raises in our hearts. Romans 6, verse 11 to 14, you know, we're dead to sin. We don't have anything to do with it anymore.
So it is returned back to the Romans 6. Yeah, that's another one that is confusing because it says that we are crucified. It says that we are dead. That we trespass and exist. Yet that all feels very much alive in so it's referring to what Christ has accomplished. But yet that struggle for it.
Yeah.
There's another one in Romans that says sin has no power over us. Okay. Well, God doesn't feel like it.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's this realization that, you know, Christ did all this for us. He did all this in us.
And it is accomplished.
It is accomplished, and then the struggle remains for us to continually put to death. So he's been put to death. But then he keeps coming back. And so daily. 25 and 26. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Why would he need to tell us these things if the old Adam is dead and isn't going to attack us anymore? But Christ did this and did this in us. And then, but yet, the old person continually rises within us and tries to. And this battle continues until on that last day when finally we get to realize the blessing that Christ has done this for us. And the old man is finally gone. Yeah, Romans 6, verse 11 to 14. Dan, you're right on. You said it well. Passions and desires, are these hard to overcome? Yeah. Basic inclinations of a sinful heart and specific named desires. We now detest these things. Our new person, don't have to convince the new person. New person knows exactly. But the old person continually tries to confuse, tries to make us believe his days are not numbered. We belong to Christ. We are his. We have a different attitude than we used to towards these things. Psalm 119, I always had trouble with. I run in the path of your commands. Run? Like when I'm running, like that's, you know, I got to feel pretty unhindered. Pretty, you know, got the nice shoes on. You know, it's got to be nice outside. But sometimes it feels like we're barely plodding along, weighed down on a sheet of ice. Kind of like a Minnesota winter. I hate every wrong path. Actually, I kind of like every wrong path. You think of this battle that goes on within us. But according to the new person, God continually works these things in us to see, no, it's good to do what God wants. It actually does serve our neighbor. To trust God to give us what we need rather than trying to connive and steal and jip people out of things. No, it's Psalm 119 finally makes sense when we think about our life according to the new person. Galatians 5, verse 25 and 26, Paul teaches sanctification in two ways. One, he simply says, do this, speaking to the new person, but he also says, let us, you know, bringing us along. Kind of the same way. Walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit. You know, these two ways of looking at it when he's talking to the new person there. As we seek to live in step with the Spirit, turning away from the old ways, why is it also a good warning not to become conceited and start finger pointing?
Yeah. If we're doing the right thing, it's not because of us.
It's not because of us. You know, but the sinful nature wants us to take credit for it. Mm-hmm. You know, and the more and more we start taking credit for it, the more and more dangerous it becomes. Choir members, what is forbidden when someone sings wrong note? Laugh or correct or point to him. How do you point? How in a choir, Professor Bodie, when we were in the Prep Singers, made a big point to this. We were going to go on tour and we were going to be out in front of people a lot. They said, some of you are going to sing wrong notes. Keep moving, but what must you not do? Because everyone will know exactly what you're doing, exactly what you're thinking when you do it. So you have to make a face. Just, you know, or stop, or look at them. You know, don't look, don't turn. Just keep straight forward. When is comparison and sanctification a bad thing? When you compare your sanctified life with someone else's sanctified life.
Mm-hmm.
How can we do that without being prideful? You know, it's almost impossible. You know, we don't compare. You know, I'm more sanctified than this person, or I volunteer more time. Or money, or whatever it is, than this person. I'm growing in grace more. Paul helps us not fall off both sides of the donkey in our life. Paul gives good advice in our sanctified life of thanksgiving for being saved by grace. Being saved by grace. And we're going to get into the comparison game really in chapter 6, but that'll be for next time. So, let's close with, how do we want to close? Let's sing the doxology. Praise in all creatures, hear me, Lord.